All right, welcome in everyone to another deep dive. Today, we're going to be looking at this fascinating case, Rudy Webb et al., the ExxonMobil Corporation et al.
Oh yeah, this one's a real head scratcher. We're talking easements, oil spills, class action lawsuits.
Yeah, this one's got it all. And for all you law students out there, this is a really good look at the intersection of property law and civil procedure.
Yeah, we're going to try to give you the key takeaways here, give you a good understanding of what happened, what it means, and how you can apply it to your own legal practice in the future.
Absolutely. And we've got all sorts of sources to dig into. You know, we've got the court opinions themselves. We've got the Eighth Circuit. We've got the district court. We've got legal briefs. And of course, the relevant case law, specifically City of CrossFit v. Riles.
Yeah, that one's going to come up quite a bit in our conversation today. It's really important.
All right. So let's go way back in time for a minute. We're talking like 70 years before this lawsuit even pops up.
Yeah, way back. Back when Exxon, or I guess, one of their predecessor companies, was first putting in this massive pipeline, the Pegasus pipeline.
It's a big one, right? It goes through like, what, Texas, Arkansas, Illinois, Missouri?
Yeah, you got it. Multi-state, big project. Yeah. And to build a pipeline like that, you need easements.
Yeah.
So, way back when, they got these easements from all sorts of landowners all along the route.
And those easements are basically like permission slips, right? They give Exxon the right to use the land for the pipeline.
Exactly.
So now fast forward to 2013. What happens in Mayflower, Arkansas?
Boom. Big oil spill.
Yeah.
And not a small one either. A significant spill.
Yeah. And obviously that raised huge concerns for the people who live nearby, especially those who had, signed those easements all those years ago.
I mean, can you imagine? Right. You've got this pipeline running through your property, and then suddenly there's a major oil spill.
Not good. So what happens next?
Lawsuit time. The affected landowners. And remember, a lot of these folks weren't the original people who signed the easements. We're talking like their kids, their grandkids,
Right. The successors in interest.
Exactly. So they get together and they file this class action lawsuit against Exxon. Their main argument. Exxon didn't take care of the pipeline, didn't inspect it properly, didn't maintain it, didn't repair it.
And that negligence, they argued, led to the spill.
Bingo. And the damage that came with it. Property damage, environmental damage, all sorts of nasty stuff.
Okay, so they sue Exxon, and what kind of remedies are they looking for here?
Oh, they weren't messing around. They wanted the whole thing gone. They wanted those easements rescinded like they never happened. They wanted that pipeline out of there, either removed or totally replaced.
Wow, that's a pretty big ass.
Yeah, and of course they wanted damages too, money to compensate them for all the trouble.
So at the heart of all of this is, did Exxon breach those original easement contracts?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And that's where Arkansas law and that City of CrossFit v. Riles case come into play.
Okay, so tell me about that case. Why is it so important here?
Well, in that case, the Arkansas Supreme Court basically said, listen, unless an easement contract specifically says who's responsible for maintaining something, you can't just assume that responsibility exists. It has to be spelled out.
So, in other words, you can't just imply a duty of maintenance, even if it seems logical, even if it seems fair.
Right. And that's a big deal here, right? Because the landowners are saying, look, Exxon, you should have been taking care of this pipeline as common sense. But the court's like, hold on, does the contract actually say that?
And what did those original agreements actually say?
Well, that's the thing. When they looked at those contracts, there was nothing in there that explicitly required Exxon to maintain or repair the pipeline, like at all.
Really? Nothing?
Nope. It mostly focused on granting Exxon the right to build the pipeline, operate it, and, have access to the land. But as far as ongoing upkeep, nothing specific.
So basically, the court saw those easements as, like, giving Exxon permission to use the land, but not necessarily dictating how they had to take care of the pipeline once it was there.
Exactly. And, it kind of makes sense in a way. Think about it. These agreements were made like 70 years ago.
Yeah, things were different back then.
Pipelines were new. No one really knew what the long-term maintenance would look like. So maybe it wasn't on their radar back then.
But still, you'd think, transporting oil, it's a risky business. You'd want to make sure someone's responsible for keeping things in tip-top shape.
Of course. And the landowners, they definitely argued that. They said, look, there should be an implied duty of care here. It's just common sense.
Plus, negligence, right? They were saying, Exxon, you messed up. You didn't take proper care of this pipeline, and that's what caused the spill.
Right. But the court wasn't buying it. They said the landowner's evidence was just too vague. They couldn't connect the dots, couldn't directly link specific actions or inactions by Exxon to the spill.
So proving a breach of contract, that was a big obstacle for them.
Yeah, it was. And then there's the whole class action issue.
Right, because they filed this as a class action. Why didn't that work out?
Well, to have a successful class action, you have to meet certain criteria under Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 23.
Mm-hmm.
And two of those are really important here. Commonality and predominance.
Commonality, so like shared issues, right? And predominance means those shared issues have to be the main thing, more important than any individual issues.
Exactly. And the court said, look, in this case, even if all these landowners were affected by the same spill, their situations are actually quite different.
Different how?
Well, first of all, even if the basic easement agreement was kind of similar, each one probably had its own quirks, its own specific terms based on the individual property. And then there's the fact that the impact of the spill could be different depending on where your property was located.
Oh, right. Like how close you were to the actual rupture, what kind of soil you have, what you were using your land for, all of that.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like everyone was affected the same way.
Yeah.
And that makes it hard to treat everyone as one big class.
Okay, that makes sense. And then you have the added wrinkle of this wasn't just one state, right? This pipeline went through four states.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget that. And the laws governing easements and property damage, they can be different from state to state. So even if you could find some common issues, the legal standards you'd have to apply could vary depending on where the property was.
Right. So you might have some folks under Arkansas law, some under Texas law, some under Missouri law, and so on. That just makes everything way more complicated.
It does. It becomes a logistical nightmare.
So the court basically said this is just too messy to handle as a single class action. Too many individual circumstances, too many different laws to juggle.
That was their conclusion. And, you know, it raises an interesting point about these kinds of large-scale projects, right? You have this one event, the oil spill, but the effects ripple out in so many different ways, affecting people differently.
All right, so class action, out the window. Now, what about federal preemption? You know, we're talking about an oil pipeline, something that's regulated by the federal government. Did that come into play here?
It did, and it's an important point to understand. The landowners were arguing that Exxon breached the easement contracts, right?
Yeah.
But those contracts are governed by state law. Meanwhile, pipeline safety, that's under federal jurisdiction. So the question was, does the Federal Pipeline Safety Act, the PSA, preempt or basically override those state law claims?
Interesting. And what did the court say?
They said no preemption here. Why? Because the landowners' claims weren't directly about federal safety regulations. They were about the contracts themselves, about whether Exxon violated specific promises made in those contracts.
So even though the federal government has a say in how pipelines are operated, that doesn't mean private parties can't sue each other over contracts related to those pipelines under state law?
Precisely. It's like two separate tracks, you know, the federal track dealing with safety regulations and the state track dealing with private agreements.
Makes sense. So even though the landowner's class action failed, and even though federal preemption wasn't an issue, they still lost the case.
Yeah. And one of the reasons for that was the remedies they were seeking. You know, they wanted those easements rescinded. They wanted the pipeline removed.
And those are pretty drastic remedies.
There are. And under Arkansas law, to get those kinds of remedies, you have to show that you suffered irreparable harm. Basically, that the damage is so severe, so ongoing, that there's no other way to fix it.
And the court didn't agree that the landowners had met that standard.
Nope. They said, look, we understand the spill was bad, but you haven't shown us that the pipeline itself is causing ongoing irreparable harm that justifies, like, ripping the whole thing out of the ground.
Okay, so let's zoom out for a minute. What are the big lessons here, especially for those of us, you know, who are in law school or just starting out in our legal careers?
I'd say the number one takeaway is this. When you're drafting contracts, especially easement contracts, be crystal clear. Don't leave anything to chance. Don't rely on implied obligations.
Spell it all out.
Exactly. If you want someone to be responsible for maintaining something, say so explicitly in black and white. Mm-hmm. Don't assume the courts will just read between the lines.
Especially in Arkansas, right?
Especially in Arkansas. They're very strict about that. The written word is king.
All right. Lesson number two.
Class actions, they're powerful tools, but they're not a magic bullet. In cases like this, where you have so many individual circumstances, so many variations in property and state law, it's really tough to make a class action work.
So think carefully before you jump into that pool.
Yeah, it can be a deep pool, and you might not like what you find at the bottom.
Okay. And lastly, the preemption issue.
Right. Federal law and state law, they often intersect, and sometimes they clash. But in this case, the court made it clear. Just because something is regulated by the feds doesn't mean you can't have state law claims based on private contracts.
They're separate spheres.
They are. So always think about which body of law applies to your case.
So, in the end, the Eighth Circuit sided with Exxon, right? They upheld the lower court's decision to dismiss the case.
They did. And it's a tough outcome for the landowners, but it's a good reminder for all of us.
Yeah.
Contracts matter. Clarity matters. And understanding the interplay between federal and state law, that's crucial.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So, for all of you listening out there, I hope this deep dive into Webb v. ExxonMobil has been helpful.
Yeah, definitely gives you a lot to think about, especially if you're interested in property law, contract law, civil procedure.
It's all connected.
It is. And thinking about this case, it makes me wonder, how can we do better in the future? How can we draft these easement agreements for these big infrastructure projects so that everyone's protected? The landowners, the companies, everyone.
Yeah, that's a great question. What kind of legal innovations can we come up with to make sure that something like this, this whole situation with the oil spill and the lawsuit, that it doesn't happen again?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because we know these projects are going to keep happening, pipelines, power lines, all sorts of stuff. So how can we get ahead of the curve and make sure everyone's rights and interests are taken care of?
Food for thought, folks. Food for thought.
Definitely.
All right, that's it for this deep dive.
See you next time.
We'll catch you next time on the Deep Dive.